Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
Good conversations, John.
We're having a wonderful time with our county executive, Laura Curran, who is honestly sharing with us all the important things that people want to hear about that's going on. And when I said honestly, I mean she's being honest in her sharings, which is very, very important. What I'd like to touch upon now is, and there's no answer for this one, but again, some ideas on what people are going through, is businesses. Businesses are hurting. Businesses, you know, there's a coffee shop in the city that last week when I was in there at 68th Street, finally went out of business. And they had a big sign, "We tried our best, but couldn't see." And it was, now I haven't gone in there in months, to be very honest with you, made no difference. But they were doing deliveries and doing whatever they tried to keep going. And, you know, Manhattan's a different cost level. But what a sign. It was heartbreaking. And then this was at Sloan. And when I went in, everybody was talking about it because, you know, coffee, you're not making that much on a cup of coffee. So if half the people aren't going in anymore, you're done. Unless you have a huge, busy morning, you're done. And the same is happening on Long Island, which is going to be a terrible shortfall for us money-wise, too. So there's adjustments that have to be made. And I'm not asking you to go into dollar amounts, but people have to be aware. There's a big, in my mind, a big change coming down the road.
Oh, John, there is. By the way, just before I get into NASA, I was in NASA in New York City, in Manhattan, in Midtown at lunchtime on Friday. Okay. It was bizarre. Things feel kind of normal in the suburbs, but when you go to the city, there's hardly anyone around. There are a few lost souls wandering around. I went out to eat with a friend for lunch, and we were sitting outside, and there was maybe one or two other tables taken at this very hot spot. It felt like I was real, but you know, that's where you really see the stark impact of this virus. So anyway, shifting back a little further to the east here in Nassau County, businesses, you know, like that coffee shop you're talking about in the city, some are just not going to open again. People have lost their jobs. You know, we're in phase four, which is great. There's no phase five, but guess what? Gyms, catering halls, you know, amusement park type places, all, you know, Adventureland, all of these things can't open. And not only we don't know when they're going to, you know, not only can't they open, we don't know when they're going to open. So they don't have that clarity. Last 2 weeks ago, I visited several gyms, and these are independently owned. One is actually in Port Washington. It's called P10, family owned, and they have all of the best protocols in place. They are working so hard to make sure they put everything there, the partitions and the sanitizing and spacing things out, moving things around so that no one can be close to each other. And they just don't know when they're going to open. They've had to furlough their employees. It's really, really tough. And my concern is, or take a catering hall, those big, huge places, they can't open. Think of the property taxes that they pay. We were just talking about property taxes earlier. And all the ancillary businesses, when you can't have weddings, things like photographers and DJs and musicians and dressmakers and all of these other businesses that are suffering because of that. So we've been doing food distributions. We've been partnering with Long Island Cares and Long Island Harvest. With Long Island Harvest, we've done well over probably about 15 food distributions. We often have 1,000 people coming. People who you know, I think about 40% have never gone to a food bank before, who now are food insecure. They don't have the paycheck, or they have to keep making sure they're paying their rent or whatever it is. So I think we're going to be feeling this for quite a long time, and the recovery is going to be difficult. And now 40%, you know, bringing it to the county, 40% of our revenue comes from sales tax. So we're suffering. We're actually doing a big lobbying effort down in D.C. to make sure that the Senate acts. Senator Representative Tom Suozzi who represents the town of North Hempstead. He's been wonderful. I've been speaking with him constantly. He gets it. Now we got to get the Senate to move on this. And I've been speaking with Schumer. I've been speaking with Gillibrand. They're working as hard as they can. But that revenue recovery is incredibly important for the county so we can continue to provide the services for our residents. You know, like we talked about before, if we get a second wave of this, we need that health department. We need that medical examiner. We need those ambulances to be able to be working on all cylinders. So that's my focus. So, you know, we are inextricably linked to businesses. Businesses need to survive and to thrive so that people can continue to get their paychecks, so that society can run, and also to help keep the government going as well. You hear that in this together, it's really true. And that's why I've been advocating at the state level, making myself a bit of a nudge with our friends up at the state about how we can reopen safely. And I think we've proven that in Nassau County. The more we reopen, the better our numbers get, because we know how to do it. Our business owners are smart. Our residents are smart. We get it. And so the push goes on.
Just an example, like I bowl, and bowling alleys.
Correct.
That's
open. Another one. Yeah.
Word has it that the bowling alley, one of the bowling alleys near here, probably will not open. So if that bowling alley does not open, it's a huge piece of property, and it's just a small example of the real estate ripple effect that this is going to have, where they're just going to be dead real estate with basically, what are you going to do with a defunct bowling alley? Somebody's going to have to want to take it and rip it apart or do whatever. And yeah, that's just one small example. And I know you're well aware, and I agree. I think this is a multiple year problem. This is not going to be spring, maybe when we can start to function semi-normally. But I think the impact of this thing is going to go on for several years at the least. I just think it's a long, I don't want to be negative about it, but I think it's a real world thing that people have to start to deal with mentally, that we're going to go through a lot of bad things. And I believe there'll be some mental health issues because of it. I know just this morning I read about your involvement with a homeless situation where a hotel is going to become a place for homeless people. And I believe that there's going to be, unfortunately, a lot of homeless situations as a result of this whole thing. So that's just one small example. I mean, we could paint a lot of pictures.
All right. I agree. I mean, we've managed through the surge. Now we're going to have to manage through this economic crisis, and a lot of people are going to be hurting. And Otto, you touched on mental health. That is a huge issue. When you think about people being isolated, people not sure if they're going to have a job, young people just starting their careers, we're seeing already, this is raw data, so it, you know, we have to have it doubly confirmed, but we're seeing about a 60% increase in fatal overdoses from all drugs, not just opiates, but all drugs. We want to make sure that we're getting the word out that there is help if people are feeling suicidal. Domestic violence has been an issue as well. So there's so many issues to deal with. There's the health, there's the economic, and then there's the mental health. And we have to make sure that we're getting people the resources that they need. We've got a lot of great resources here. The key is just to connect the resources to the people. And that's something actually that Project Independence does so well, and why I'm such a big fan of this program.
That's very true, because we are in every aspect trying to keep people informed, keep them connected. The food insecurity thing, which is, I honestly was so shocked in the beginning when I saw these lines of cars, like at Eisenhower Park. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Who would think in this day and age? But I understand it now. And the number of people and the trickle down is going to be tremendous, because you lose a job, but you were helping somebody else, and that person's going to get less help, et cetera. And from your perspective, even with a budget, I mean, it's hundreds of millions of dollars you're losing. So, you know, you're going to have to really work a budget that's going to be miraculous to keep everything going.
You know, we're trying to help our local businesses as much as possible. So we're partnering with the IDA to get PPE kits to businesses, and a lot are taking advantage of that, which is great. And it's a help. We're also working with the IDA to do loans for a lot of the smaller business, a lot of women and minority-owned businesses that were passed over from PPP, from the federal government, getting them loans to keep them afloat. So we're doing what we can, getting our resources together to help as much as we possibly can.
You know, I always like to use the phrase, sometimes when my wife and I are sitting there in a recliner watching a show on television, and I say, you know, we're sitting here fat, dumb, and happy, like everything is hunky-dory, right? And the facts of life are, I think everybody has to be a little more aware of that we're not all fat, dumb, and happy, that there's a lot of bad things going on.
Yep.
And that I believe everybody has to kind of pitch in mentally and try to accept the fact that there are people who need help and, you know, don't have the attitude that I did it, you know, so I don't need to help you kind of thing. I think there's got to be a big shift in attitude as far as a lot of people is concerned. I believe they have to face the fact that, yes, this is a tough time and people do need help and we have to help where we can help. I think it's a big social attitude problem, society attitude problem.
I think we're more connected than some people might realize.
Yes.
Agreed. And a lot of that in my mind starts at home. I really do believe that. And then with someone like Laura, Laura has taken the home philosophy and brought it to the county executive seat. So it's not a business. It's one huge home of 1.3 million that's people. Right. And she's everybody's mother. But it's the truth. That's the way you have to look. You have to look at it with a caring heart at the end of the day. It has to be a business, but it has to have a caring heart functioning with it, because, you know, she could just turn around and get rid of half the people who are working for the county. And I'm sure we'd have a much better look at our budget. But you don't do that. It's impossible, because then services are ended, people's lives are ruined. You got to just come up working crazily, you know, and I don't envy, you know, poor Laura, what you're doing. I mean, it's, you know, you didn't plan on this when you took over just to do the regular work. And we're almost out of time, so I'm just stressing this again. Laura took over as the first woman and is doing a tremendous job as county executive. But on top of it, she has been thrown something that no executive in history has ever had to deal with.
So, Don, I will say I've got a wonderful team, and we have incredible residents in Nassau County. We've got incredible businesses in Nassau County. I talk to people every day. I am so proud of the people who live here and the job that they've been doing. That's what gives me hope that we can recalibrate to whatever the new normal is going to look like and then get back to our new normal. And I do believe that after when this the dust settles, we will be stronger than ever.
You know, I like what you just said, recalibrate. And that's so true, because there is a recalibration coming. What it is, I have no idea. Excuse me. And that's really going to be sent down from you through your people into the town, into the county. And it will be a success no matter what you're doing, because you've been a success from day one. I want to thank you so much for your willingness to participate this morning. We've been with County Executive Laura Curran. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio at 88.1 FM, WCWC.org.